Workers Radio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM Radio, serving southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio itself. However, you can tune in from anywhere in the world simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Also, if you have Alexa, just say Alexa, 860 AM Radio, and you will be tuned in to our broadcast, which is going to be a very lively broadcast today. And by the way, as I go in my travels and hear from people, people tell me they like the interaction. They like the opinions. They only wish that major media people who are getting paid big bucks would say some of the things that we are saying because of the reality of the life that we're experiencing. I want to say a special shout out to Mike Sessions, a great guy doing great work. And you can log on and get the copy, the app for the American Workers Radio broadcast simply by going on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and check out Mike Sessions' giveaway shirt he's doing, and also a free app when you go to Go for Made in USA. I want to say a special welcome and thank you to Larkin Conley, who is the small business advocate and also a great spokesman here for American Workers Radio. Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. And of course, Mark Andel. Wow. Mark Andel celebrating the 10th anniversary of his great store this year. And what a year, Mark. We're going to talk about some of that today. Also with us is Curtis Ellis. And he is from the America First Project, a great person who has his finger on the pulse of everything. And also, I'd like to bring your attention to the fact that there's an interview with Curtis Ellis right there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Check that out, because Curtis really let it be said the way it has to be said during a great conference that was held about a month ago. Well, ladies and gentlemen, after our discussion during last weekend's broadcast about the tariffs, and of course, last Wednesday, we talked about tariffs as well, placing the funds from those tariffs in the rainy day fund for future needs to help small businesses. And I mean to tell you, there were a lot of great responses. Directing the tariffs from all these products coming to America into a rainy day fund is something that we should really fully consider. And it should be something that the president and all the members of Congress should promote, because they know that they're going to get money into the fund to help our small businesses without having to go into what they call a stimulus, which I don't think it's a stimulus. I think it's just a package to help America. But and the tariffs could go directly to those good services which really need our help. And by the way, people ask me, where do the tariffs go right now? And I say, I don't know. So if anyone on the broadcast knows where they're going right now, let me know so I can share it with our listeners and supporters. And by the way, is there any American-based business that would object to having tariffs on foreign supplies? I don't think so. Or very little problem would come from any foreign product having a tariff on it. But our small businesses and maybe some of our unemployed people would benefit from it. Well, we've had a lot of things going on. I wanted to just recap that for a few seconds, because it's an interesting subject. And we're going to hear more and more about tariffs, because that's what we have to do. We outsourced our jobs. We outsourced our businesses. No one said anything. And now we are at a point where we have to start pushing everything back here in America, where there are no tariffs on any products that you pick up that are made here in the USA. And speaking today of that, I'm going to ask someone who knows best how there is no tariffs on anything. Mark Andel, how are you doing? Please let us know what's new with you.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? And I think Curtis is on, and Henry, and Rich and Lark. And Mike, very tough times for business, as you know, the coronavirus. First, hats off to our healthcare professionals on the front lines and, you know, dealing with this pandemic. Very, very tough times. But, Mike, on business, I've got to tell you, you know, where we're at, you know, General Welding and Made in America, New York is, you know, obviously shut down. They even shut all the construction workers last week, any construction. So our revenue went down to about 20% for General Welding and Made in America. We've got 4 stores closed. We've laid off 26 people at this point as of yesterday. So very tough times, and all the business owners listening, you know, it's tough times in the country dealing with this situation, but then with the country being unplugged and shut down. Unprecedented times, and the problem is cash flow, and cash flow is the oxygen of every company. And Mike, I want to bring up there's some plans out there, because people are going to need help as they run out of money, and that's the problem. You run out of money, your revenue's gone, and no matter what they say, the small business has never really been helped. We don't get to, you know, sit home and collect a paycheck or have that job from home. Our revenue, our people coming in, you know, have closed off. The only one open for us is military and the infrastructure builders of bridges, but all your construction, landscapers, walk-ins are closed. So very tough times, Mike. Our Made in America store in Elma is open, and that is doing decent with the essentials. And the Internet site, interestingly enough, has doubled from your toilet paper, pet supplies, and your common needs, even puzzles. But to get back to helping business, there's a couple plans. The SBA tried to come up. They've got the stimulus package, and that came out. It sounds good on the news, but the SBA, you know, site dropped. It failed. It got back up. It failed again. So they came out with what they call an economic injury disaster loan, an EIDL. And I'd like any listener to look up the economic injury disaster loan, because pretty well anybody owning a business can apply. And for their mistakes and for the site crash, and they basically came up with a $10,000 grant that they'll issue you if you fill out the form. And I urge everybody to fill it out after you listen to our show today, because they are going to run out of that money. They're going to give $10,000 grant. You don't have to pay it back. Any business from Rich to myself to a salon to a manufacturer, just a $10,000 grant. You should get it in 3 days after you fill out the forms. And it's pretty simple. If you go to the site, it's an EIDL, Economic Injury Disaster Grant. That's the only thing available through the SBA right now. The other loan will be up to $2 million, but that's not out yet, and that may take 60 to 90 days. The other big thing that you've got to know, and the people have got to know, is about the CARES Act, which is the Paycheck Protection Program. You can't apply today because it's not up and running. The Treasury and they're going to institute lenders, banks, to actually handle this side of it. It is backed with the SBA, too. But it's going to be basically based on your payroll. You're going to need 3 items to get in. You're going to have a business that has less than 500 employees. You're going to have to prove that you were in business before February 15, 2020. And then you're going to take your average payroll last year. You take your payroll, you divide it by 12 months, and you multiply it by 2.5. And that is what they're going to try to give you within a 7 days. But again, it's not open yet. They're hoping for Monday. And that's going to be the only chance that these businesses make it, Mike, unfortunately, because that's going to give you some money pretty quick. And you can have other loans in process, but all the lending in the country went down to less than 20% because nobody knows the risk involved yet, so they won't lend any money. So them are some very important things for the listeners, Mike, to get on that economic injury disaster grant. You can Google it and apply today, because they only got $10 billion. And that's going to go fast. That gives anybody $10,000, and it's not, you don't have to pay it back. And then to wait for this payroll protection program through the CARES Act to open up. You can enter today, but be ready, have your payroll, and have a couple of the criteria. It's going to be pretty simple, but it's going to be your chance to get money quick within 7 days, and to be able to handle keeping your employees and keeping open while your revenues basically went down to 10-20%.
Very good, Mark. That was an unbelievable report. Thank you.
People have to know, Mike, because it is survival at this point.
It is survival. I mean, I am seeing and hearing from people that tell me if this goes on another 2 weeks, I have to close because some of my employers, they are also getting rid of their people, the people that I deal with as employers from their businesses. We're just going to have no supply chain whatsoever. And by the way, everyone, there was so much improvement in America's economy in the last few years. Look how little time it took for America's business economy to almost go down the drain as a result of this coronavirus.
Mike, I'd like to back you on that. We were having the best first quarter we've had in 4 to 6 to 8, you know, probably 10 years. You know, our Made in America anniversary, the official date is actually this Friday, April 3rd, 2010. We opened, so, you know, our 10 years would be this Friday. But you know, again, we were the best economy, rock and roll, and everybody, and it really, when you unplug the country and everybody stays home, you know, a lot of people just don't realize we're businesses when you have nobody coming to your door, and we're essential by chance. Otherwise, you're sitting home, and I got friends that have restaurants that probably won't reopen already.
Yeah, so I say one employer is talking to another, and they're saying, I'm not going to be able to make it, and by the time I apply for a loan and all, you know, guys, within weeks, not because of bad management here in the United States of America by America's businesses, but because of a virus, our economy went down the drain, and I really think we have to do something about it, and I beg people when I see them, when this crisis is over, it's more than urgent for all Americans to focus their spending on Made in America.
Absolutely, Mike.
Absolutely. We can't tolerate this anymore. And by the way, one thing that did happen as a result of this virus is the fact that people found out that the majority of the medicines that the American people are using every day of the week are made in China, India, or foreign countries. All those companies that were in America sent over their manufacturing to other countries. That's got to stop. I'm sorry, that must stop. I mean, it's ridiculous. Let me turn to Curtis Ellis. Curtis, tell us everything what's going on.
That was a great report from Mark. I was speaking with the person who served as Linda McMahon's chief of staff over at the SBA. She's now head of America First, the organization I work with now. And Mark really captured it all. Maybe I missed this. One thing to add is when small businesses get those loans that he was describing, you take out a loan, it would be deducted from the loan. It would be a 10-year loan, interest rate capped at 4%. The loan could be, you know, based on what he said, based on your payroll, a 2.5%, 250%, 2.5% of your monthly payroll. Deducted from that would be your payroll. When you're paying it back, 8 weeks of the payroll, your rent for 2 months, interest you're paying on any other loans, business loans that you have outstanding, and utilities are deducted from what you pay back. So that becomes a grant. So definitely that, as Mark said, that facility, that lending facility is not open yet. It's not in place. But get ready, get your paperwork in order, and be ready to apply the moment the starting gun is fired.
Absolutely.
Because as, again, as Mark said, there's only 10 billion. There's a limited amount of money. And there's a limited amount of money that Congress has appropriated for this so far. And you want to be first online to make sure you get what you deserve, what's been allocated before the funds run out. A couple of other things. It's a very, very interesting. It's really shocking what's going on in the economy and this virus. And to hear the let's look at the bright side. People, China has been unmasked. Any illusion that the Chinese Communist Party, the ruling clique in China, is somebody we can do business with, I think that's been exposed. as a dangerous misconception. The PR, this is a public relations disaster for China. Got to look at the bright side here, folks. there's that people now get it, that it, the outsourcing of our industries to China has been a terrible mistake. And it has left us weaker. It has left us unable to fend for ourselves and protect ourselves and protect our people. As everybody on this show has been saying for years, it's impoverished us and made us weaker, destroyed our economy, destroyed our middle class, destroyed the health of our nation. And now we're seeing it literally destroying the health of our nation. Yet still, the corporate elites are still calling for the tariffs to be removed. The Wall Street Journal is beating that drum every day. The very same people who said we can't decouple from China because it's an interdependent world are saying, but we should decouple from our neighbor, which is what shutting the economy down is. When we're closing businesses, the economy is such an antiseptic word. The economy is people doing business with each other, buying and selling and working with and for and exchanging goods and services and doing what we do, doing what people do. And when you say, no, you can't do any of that, we're just going to close it all down, you're decoupling. So the people who have said it's an interdependent world, how foolish of you to think that we could be self-sustaining, are now seem to have a blind eye to how interdependent we all are on each other, and that's what we're seeing.
Curtis, I'd like to add, this shows us that we allowed ourselves to become dependent on so many other countries where we see poverty in America rising. Unemployed people need to be trained to get back into the workforce. Oh, no. People who heard our report about the medicines being made in foreign countries said, yes, we had a number of those facilities in Pennsylvania. They're all closed, and all of that manufacturing is out of America. Who in Washington would agree with that? When those people went to those budget hearings and they said, well, we're buying all this and that, no one questioned the fact that there's no jobs for these people in this country. No one. Poverty went up. No one. If somebody knows of someone who was promoting our message, who was asking, how are we going to keep our people employed, please let me know. I'd love to have them as a guest on our program. I'd love to feature them on the internet site. The problem we've had in the United States is too many of the people at the top have been benefiting through their campaigns and everything else from foreign donations.
That's right. That's exactly right. Just last week, the Association for Affordable Medicine sent a letter to the president and to others. It's high-ranking members of Congress and whatnot. The Association of Affordable Medicine. These are the generic drug manufacturers. These are the people who have outsourced, who have closed all those factories in Pennsylvania and opened them in Wuhan. People who've closed the factories in New Jersey and opened them in Hubei province in China. They make the off-brand, the non-brand name medicines, the active pharmaceutical ingredients, and they make them all overseas. They send a letter saying, we must preserve our global supply chains. Our global supply chains is what has preserved and allowed us to provide affordable medicines and cheap, low-cost medicines to Americans. And we cannot, yes, we can talk about bringing supply chains back. It's a laudable long-term goal, but we must not disrupt our global supply chains. This is the same crap we've been hearing. It's the old wine in new bottles. It's the same globalist junk economics that we have heard and been sold. And I am very, very tired of it, and I'm sure everybody else on this broadcast is. And I don't think people are going to fall for it anymore.
I don't think so, Curtis. No. I want to tell you, you know what really bugged me. You're mentioning how people are just saying we're going to go back to normal and everything else. You know, the research and development of all new medicines and all should be 100% back in the United States of America. Why are we depending on foreign countries to read our x-rays and everything else? Why are
That's
we depending
right.
on foreign countries to make new drugs to help the American people? Why aren't they located in the United States of America? Why aren't we awarding awards to people in the United States who have invented new drugs? You look at any of these medicine companies, they're awarding everybody but Americans for their great research and development.
That's
doesn't
right.
make what, sense to me.
What happened to Jonas Salk? The Salk vaccine cured polio. Stopped that pandemic. Stopped that epidemic. Look, people have, we've lost our way. If you go right back to the beginning, the justification, and I think this was just PR. This was corporate PR. I don't believe the folks peddling this line even believed it. But what they were telling us when they said open up trade with China, they said we open up trade with China and open up investment in China. And that will make China become, that will make China reform. It will have structural reforms in its economy and it will become a free market economy, right? That's what they said. Now that clearly has not happened, but that was the justification for it. Mm-hmm. They were trying to make a national security geostrategic argument that the way we can get China to change its communist ways is not by bombing it with missiles, not by bombing it with, sending in the troops. It's by bombing it with our factories and our capital. Send our dollars over there. Send, let them, we'll open up our markets, and then China will reform and become like us. So now that we know that didn't work, they've changed the goalposts. And they say when President Trump puts tariffs in place, saying China's cheating, they're not playing by our rules, and we're going to pressure them in another way with tariffs and by restricting trade, the same people that argued for opening trade say, oh, well, it's foolish to expect China to change its ways. You can't really expect China to, you're asking China to make these structural reforms of not having state-owned enterprises, not subsidizing, not requiring not intellectual property theft, not requiring joint ventures to hand over their blueprints. You can't really expect China to do that. Why, if China did that, it would no longer be the kind of state-owned, command-control, communist economy that it is. So this shows how far we've lost our ways. The demands that President Trump put on China through these negotiations and through the tariff pressure, is the goal is exactly the same goal that we were promised would happen by giving them our factories and having normal trade relations with them.
That's
but
right.
People have forgotten that.
That's right.
They missed that point because they never believed it in the first place. They were simply looking for the cheapest labor on earth. They wanted to break the unions. They wanted to break the American way of life and simply cash in as quickly as possible. And now China is using globalism the same way this Association for Affordable Medicine and all of the apologists for, oh, we cannot disrupt our global supply chains because we live in a global economy. This is globalism. This is pure 180 proof, straight up globalism. No water, no rocks, no chaser. That's what they're selling us. And this is what China is using to advance itself. It's using globalism and globalization as a Trojan horse to take over America, to strip us of our industries, to strip us of our ability to be an independent, self-governing nation. It's globalization. They knew they couldn't win Look, they got Bernie Sanders with his socialism and AOC and, you know, with all these people with their, you know, communism light and the Democratic Party. But they know they couldn't really sell the American people the PR line of, hey, communism's great. Let's all sign up for it. So instead, they push globalization is great. We live in an interdependent world and it's all globalism. There's one global village and we're all happy and everything's wonderful and we all just have live harmoniously together. You know, that's a happy picture they paint, but that's not what they're doing. They're using globalization to advance the interests of the Communist Party of China. And they've got the World Health Organization and all these UN agencies under their thumb. And I tell you, if we'd listened to WHO, the WHO, they said no travel restrictions. There's no evidence that this virus has human-to-human transmission. It's not very bad. Don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. We would have done better listening to Doctor Who or listening to Pete Townshend, Roger Daltrey, and The Who than listening to the WHO. I mean, so that's my rant for the moment.
You know, one thing that's really weird to me is this all started when Nixon went to China and got those few panda bears. Then came
Ling Ling.
Right, Ling Ling came over. Then the next thing you know, Carter came in and he opened up a lot of the stuff. The Chinese came over with trillions and invested in America, and it was a slow road to hell. Do you know what's really weird when you look at it, and people can see this firsthand? We don't have face masks made in America.
No.
You have to get them from China. Thank God that Mike Lindell from MyPillow and all these other companies are making emergency masks in America, because China is selling those masks all over Europe because people are going to pay the dollar that they want there. Oh, we didn't have shipping to the United States and the tariff is going to be on the masks. You're not getting them. I don't trust any report coming out of China. I don't believe that any of this stuff is going to benefit us in the long run. We have to look for America first. Talking about being, normal, how is it that we don't have five suppliers of medicine in this country that can compete against each other? We have to have the prices coming from China or India or anywhere else. How is it possible?
Well, that's the thing. You really hit on a good point there, Michael, is we need competition. What this is about, China is, in a way, an exemplar of monopoly control. We have to compete against the China price, not the China prices, not the, these are the three different price points. No, there's only one price, and it's the price that comes out of China. And why don't we have five different companies? There's a story I'll have coming out tomorrow on American greatness, and the New York Times covered this, and the New York Times is, you know, they occasionally do good reporting. So back in 2011, 2003, 17 years ago, whatever, I can't do the math anymore. So it was like around 08. The government decided, the HHS, CDC decided, we want to stockpile ventilators because we think there could be a pandemic sometime in the future. We dodged the bullet with SARS. We dodged the bullet with MERS. We dodged the bullet with H1N1. But, you know, one day there will be a pandemic and we need to have a stockpile of ventilators. Let's make cheap ventilators. We will find a way to make a ventilator for $3,000. And they found this small company, Newport Medical Devices, in Costa Mesa, California, a small independent startup company that gave them the specs, gave them the, you know, made the bid, took the bid, and great, off to the races. And they gave the company a few million dollars to start the project. Well, then along, and everything seemed to be going well for a few years. And then in 2012, this giant health medical device company, Covidien, buys Newport. Right, buys the Newport Medical Company, and the Covidien, $15 billion in sales, publicly traded company, it's run by the Wall Street Sharpies, the financial analysts. They already are in the ventilator business, right? And they're making $10,000 ventilators. They have no interest whatsoever in creating a $3,000 ventilator, so they reassign all the program managers to different jobs, and then they tell the government, we want to get out of the contract. And then, a couple of years after that, Medtronic buys Covidien so that Medtronic can now do a tax inversion. It is now set up and headquartered in Ireland, because that's where Covidien was, and doesn't have to pay taxes. And Medtronic is one of the four largest manufacturers of ventilators in the United States. And they make the high-end expensive ventilators. They have no interest whatsoever in making a $3,000 ventilator. The point of the story, the fable, the moral of the story here, is we have no competition.
No competition.
So the government gives, you have the big company gobbling up the little company, shutting down innovation. It's always the small upstarts that threaten the big companies, and the big companies always want to shut them down. And they either buy them out or find a way to squeeze them out. Here, they shut them down. And you said, why don't we have five different companies making these medicines? Why don't we have five different companies, seven different companies making ventilators? Why don't we have competition in all areas, in all industries? This whole myth that bigger is better, bigger is more efficient, garbage.
Garbage is right. You know what, Curtis? I think we have to start from the government down. I think the government is the biggest purchaser in the United States of America. I think that we have to have 80% of everything they buy mandated that it's made here in the United States of America. They're using our tax dollars. They're not in business. The government's not in business. They don't get any money from profits. They're using our tax dollars. You know, Curtis, one of the biggest things that I'm concerned about, when this coronavirus pandemic is over, inflation's going to go and overpower America's economy. That's one of the biggest things I'm concerned about. After a hurricane, flooding, other tragedies, prices often rise. Suppliers want to get, they want to regain the cost that they lost. So they do the inflation thing. I think that the government is helping. The government can help additionally. I think really, I said this before, I know some people were not too happy with the idea. I think there should be a national price freeze on everything for the next 2 years. I mean everything. No price can go up. Let us get our house back in order. Let's get competition back here in the United States of America. And I think things like this should be made to be on the table during the upcoming debates for the presidency and all of the other offices that are up for grabs. And we should also make this a question that has to be asked during every debate. What are we going to do to stop inflation, number one? What are we going to do to have our government people make sure that they have to get purchase orders on everything? And the purchase orders have to be from mainly American companies. That'll help companies grow. Rich, tell me what's on your mind.
Michael, speaking of Townsend and Daltrey, I was just going to quote what I, this is wishful thinking, Curtis, on my part, and good morning to everyone. First off, good morning, everyone, to our listeners. This is some cautiously pessimistic talk on my part, Michael, but we won't get fooled again, hopefully, after this is all
I love
said
it.
And done. And, you know, to quote the...
We definitely would
again,
do better listening to The Who than Who, because we don't want to get fooled again.
No more.
And I absolutely agree. You know what? So we all have to, you know, for, and I know that you guys, I'm sure, are in agreement with this. Everyone needs to listen to, we pay a lot of money for government agencies, and government agencies now have created directives and guidelines on how to prevent the spread of this virus, right? Your distance. Yesterday I was out, my concealed carry got caught on my shirt. All of a sudden everybody moved away 25 feet from me. So maybe open carry, Curtis, is a better solution. Everyone, all of a sudden I realized everyone started moving away from me. No one wanted to be next to me, and I thought, wow, if only open carry existed in Florida. It was amazing, Mark. Everyone started, it got caught on my shirt, and, all of a sudden everyone started backing up, and I thought, why is everyone moving away from me? You know, I showered before I went out. Why is everyone moving away? You know, got stuck on my shirt, and all of a sudden, oh, open carry, that's a good, CDC, open carry. No, keep your distance, wash your hands, don't panic, but be cautious. Because if we can make sure, Michael, You know, it's going to be hard to rejuvenate the economy if a lot of people are sick. If a lot of people are sick, it's going to be hard to rejuvenate our economy. Healthcare is a big part of our economy. It's a different discussion about where we should take it, what to do with it. I've already said that, you know, we've had people on this show, Michael, talking about Medicare for All, and I brought them on because I think it's good to hear alternative perspectives. But the Achilles heel of Medicare for All that no one who promotes it, not a Ralph Nader, you know, not a Dr. Sue who was on, not a Sanders, no one, the Achilles heel of the Medicare for All argument is how do you make sure that outcomes are high? Forget about the money. The problem that no one has been able to show is, yes, we can have high outcomes on Medicare for All. And the American people, Michael, as money conscious as we are, when it comes to our health care, I'll tell you this, if push came to shove, we are going to be more outcome conscious than we will be money conscious. So when all is said and done, Curtis, and we heal up, we get everyone moving, what then has to start happening is there's a major occurrence that has to happen, Michael, in order to rejuvenate economic nationalism. The Industrial Revolution in America, GM churning out cars, that was economic nationalism. What first has to happen, and I know the politicians ain't going to like this, which is why I know it's correct, you got to start shrinking the government. Because the way that you're going to convince people, Michael, over time to spend more money on products, you got to cut the bills somewhere else in their life. And there's no better place to start cutting the bills than on government. That's got to happen. And that's why I say, when this is all said and done and the dust settles, I think there are going to be millions of Americans who before this are going to step back and they're going to say, why are we so reliant on this country? I know, Michael, it's utopia to say we'll be 0%. I realize that. But we're on the far other end of the pendulum right now.
Absolutely.
We are on the high dependency side. I mean, this is like it takes a village on human growth hormone steroids. And I think that Americans are going to step back and they're going to say, we can't keep getting fooled by this. We need to start lessening that dependence. We need, especially when it comes to our health, especially when it comes to our industries, our economy. And now the government is going to have to, the federal government especially, they are going to get, I think they're going to get bombarded. Why does this happen? And then the politicians need to get together, Curtis, and they need to start shrinking the government, because that's the first step to rejuvenating, resurrecting economic nationalism.
That's exactly right.
We got to stay safe, and we got to wash your damn hands, and remember what George Carlin said about the environment. The planet is fine. It's the people that are blanked.
You know, on the shrinking government, you look at all of the regulations and procedures and policies of the administrative state that Trump had to cut through just to get the government to move on this. The doctors in Seattle weren't allowed to run tests on thousands of swab samples they'd collected from people in Washington state already because their laboratory was not certified as a clinical lab. It was certified as a research lab, and they were told to fill out the form in triplicate, put it in the U.S. mail, and send it over, and it would take 3 months to get recertified. The doctors in Seattle, to their credit, said, we're just going to break the rules and do it anyway. And you hear Fauci out there saying, he's like, God bless him, but he's out there. He keeps saying, well, we have to do the random sample, double-blind clinical trial before I will even consider giving somebody a pill. And they had to then change a rule at FDA to allow people who were about to die to be given a drug that's already been approved and proven to be safe for other purposes. But here's the thing, and I'll cede the floor to everyone else. This whole thing, you know, the government is too big when they've told half of them, more than half, there's your non-essential employees. Non-essential employees don't have to come into work. Right? They can stay home.
Right.
Like, Show me a private business that even has a non-essential employee. I don't know any private business that has a non-essential employee on the payroll. If you're not non-essential, you ain't getting paid.
That's
We're not
right.
hiring you, right?
That's exactly right.
You know, can I make a follow-up point?
Make this point. If you're non-essential, what the hell are we paying them for in the first place?
Okay,
right,
great,
go
great,
ahead, Rich.
great. You know, Curtis just exhibited what I was. He read my mind as a clairvoyant, which the Democrat media industrial complex has attacked our administration for lacking clairvoyance. And it's truly the theater of the absurd. I mean, it really has gotten to that point. But that's a side note. You know, that's a side note of all of this right now. And I've said plenty about the press, and we can just see how in typical times, Michael, traditionally, when there was something going on in the country, you know, that traditionally we would at least, me and our audio engineer, our great audio engineer who always makes us sound good, as Mark says, who's a swing voter in a swing state, and we're gonna earn his vote for re-election. But you know, he always says,
hey, Rich,
to me,
Rich, I'm sold. I bought into your April Fools.
See, that's what I'm saying. You gotta stick with those. You gotta keep going at the swing voters. Don't take them for granted, you know. But Henry is always saying to me, it's a good point. He says, look, people aren't, you know, people are just thinking about how to have enough supplies, right? How to not get sick if they've got kids, you know, keep themselves healthy. And we are in, you know, this is even in the most first world country ever in history, right? We're in a little bit of survival mode right now because man will never defeat nature. But you know, Curtis, what you know, it'll never happen. Despite our advances against infectious diseases, and man has done pretty damn well against infectious diseases in the modern era, but we'll never defeat nature. And you know, you listen to what Curtis is saying about essential businesses, non-essential businesses, and this is a difficult part, right, for lawmakers and leaders to be in, because we're trying to tackle something that is invisible for the most part. We then have to deal with the politics, the political ramifications afterwards when it comes to China. But it's why I say, Michael, we just have to keep in mind.
Richard, I want to say one thing. You know, all of this came about as a result of China, not allowing themselves to be in contact with the World Health Organization. If they did that 60 days before we learned about it, we would not be here. 95% of our problems would have already been past history. We would have made the decisions. I give our president a lot of credit. When he stands up there and he gives these conferences every day and brings these other people to speak, I mean, he has no script. They ask questions. He answers them like I don't know who else would have been able to take this kind of pressure. And for the record, when you go to a hospital, you are sitting there with American certified doctors. You are served by American certified nurses and other healthcare people. And yet, when it comes to your medication, it's coming from a foreign country. Does that make any kind of sense? To me, it does not. That's my point. We have to give, we're Americans, we want to have 85, 90% of what we're putting in our body made here in the United States under the guidance of our federal and departments. One more thing. You know, when I watched what was going on with this national stimulus bill, I was really disgusted. For the record, I'm not for any of the perks that some of the Congress people allowed to be included in the stimulus bill. I feel a stimulus bill should be 100% benefiting getting America moving again, getting American workers back again, helping them. So until this is finished, at least they get some funds in their pocket, because they were not the people who started the pandemic. They were ordered to be closed. Their businesses were closed. Their jobs were suspended. So we have to help them. Some of the items that Nancy Pelosi was demanding really tainted the legislation. I don't even know why they were permitted. The Congress and the senator should have said, I'm sorry, this should be 100% benefiting Americans. 100%, not these little thises and the little that. Curtis, what do you think of that?
No, absolutely right. This leads to a point I was going to make, I thought of before I put a point down. This pandemic has really made me question whether our country, whether the leaders in Washington, and I know the answer to this, but I'll ask it, it's a rhetorical question, makes me wonder if we are capable of serious thinking anymore. Are we capable of serious thinking and planning? Because what we saw, to your point, we have this public health crisis, we have this economic crisis, we have this financial crisis, we have this human crisis. And what does Washington do? What do the Democrats do? They want to put in their favorite hobby horses. Oh, we're going to have diversity training in the large, you know, in corporations. We're going to have give Congress a pay raise. We're going to give the Kennedy Center for the Arts $25 million. We're going to have voting by mail, mandatory voting by mail. They send everybody in the country an absentee ballot. Whatever their little wish list is. And then on the other side, you have the corporate lobbyists doing the same thing. We want a bailout for the corporations, for the airlines that used to sell us pillows and basically, sell us, charge us extra for a seat belt on the seat they sold us. They never shared their profits when they were making money, but now that they're losing money, we're supposed to bail them out. And Boeing spent billions and billions, $60 billion on stock buybacks to boost the price, the share price of the stock. Who did that benefit? That benefited the executives of Boeing who were paid in stock options. All that money disappeared overnight. They laid off all the engineers. I mean, Boeing, the 737 MAX airplane, the computer coding was being done by Indians for $9 an hour. People who'd never worked on aeronautics before, but Boeing could get the work cheaper done in India, and that's who wrote the software that crashed the planes. All the engineers were laid off so they could buy back stocks, and now their lobbyists are at work on Capitol Hill. Did anybody think through what does it mean when you shut down an entire economy? And they put out an edict, you don't have to pay rent, you don't have to pay your mortgage for 3 months or 2 months or 1 month. It's April 1st now. Your mortgage is due. No, you don't have to pay it. Or what if they were to say, waive the interest fees on credit cards? Well, all of those mortgages had been packaged, repackaged, sliced and diced, and sold to no one even knows who, right? So it's going to ripple through the entire financial system. Credit card debt has been packaged, resold as bonds. People expect to get paid. The bondholders expect to get paid off of the interest payments that you pay on your credit card this month. If suddenly nobody's paying credit cards and nobody's paying interest and nobody's paying mortgages and nobody's paying rent, the people who hold those bonds, they're going to be caught up short. I mean, has anybody thought this through? Has anyone thought this through?
No, they haven't. No, they have not. And when you look at what we just said, that you put in all these perks, billions
right.
of dollars into
of.
Perks instead
of
100% to benefit America's economy. And you're right, Curtis, about the big corporations. They should have to put in a proposal, just as every small business has to put in a proposal to tell us exactly what they're using that money that we are about to provide them for. What are they going to do? It should mainly go to the employees, because the employees are hard to replace. As I said early in the program, many of the people that I have, even as advertisers on our daily show, many of them are hurting. Some of them were closed. They're talking now business owner to business owner. What are we going to do when we get out of this and this and that? They're talking common sense, and yet Are the major corporations going to give common sense reasons that they should get the money?
No, and you say they should go to the employees, but how about this? Mark, you would get a sense of this. Look, Boeing flies planes, United Airlines, JetBlue, all these people fly the planes. The parts on the planes wear out. They have to order spare parts. They're constantly doing maintenance on the planes, replacing parts. If they're not flying the planes, they're not wearing those parts out. So the parts aren't being worn out. They're not replacing them. They're not ordering replacement parts from 1,000 machine shops and 1,000 suppliers across the nation. Right. What happens to those people?
That's
what happens
the
to the employees
chain.
Of those machine shops and those parts suppliers?
Absolutely.
Has anybody thought this through? When
As Larkin mentions, our supply chain in America is broken, and we have to do something about it. It's time to have people like us lead more action. We have to start having the people in Washington contact people like us for suggestions, because I think they're living in a crystal ball world and have no idea what the hell is going on.
Yeah. And Mike, we've got to get to the other side of this, and we will, but we've got to, as businesses, but when it comes back, the economy's not going to be the same. The good people I laid off that are highly trained, you want them back, but if you don't have the work for them, you're going to have to wait again. This is long. Once they went 2 weeks, now 4 weeks, 6 weeks, this is a long, long project. This caused a lot. Like Curtis, you talked about the ripple effect, the spider web effect, that supply chain, how many people it affects. It's amazing. But these highly trained people that you've got to lay off, and it's gut wrenching, and it's tough. It was, we didn't see it coming. Again, we got to take care of the crisis. But the economy, even my oil and mining work, I've talked to the big gurus with the oil, the market is upside down. And the oil industry, Texas,
right,
throughout, is really turned over upside down right now.
Yeah, yeah. That's a huge customer for a lot of people, the oil industry, the oil and gas industry.
And, when this is over, I am going to go to all of my friends in the radio world all over the USA that promote my commentaries on the weekend and ask them to beg people to go out and support our local businesses so that American workers can get back to what they're supposed to be doing. I don't know how long it's going to take. It's not going to happen at the snap of a finger. It's simply not going to happen this way. There are these people who are in academia and all. They think that, it'll just happen right away. People will go back. It's not going to be that easy. People are going to be cautious how they're going to spend their money. Even if they get a little money and they have to spend it on something, they're not going to have the security. Oh, I can go out and spend more money or put it on my credit card or whatever. The thing that really is upsetting a lot of people is inflation going to kill us?
And Mike, I'd like to bring up a good point. What we had was a great economy, and it was giving people consumer confidence again. People had confidence January, February, even in the tough time of the year. And what they've lost is their disposable income now, and they're going to lose their consumer confidence. And that's going to takes time to build back.
Oh, absolutely. American workers were really left in the dust by greed from politicians and by businesses. And now Americans are paying the price watching all of our clothing, our shoes. Just take a look at the labels. It's disgusting. Where are the American-made things? This is the big deal. 30
well, Michael,
years
Mike,
ago, you couldn't find
them.
You couldn't fire foreign-made stuff in your house. Today, that's all you find. Yes, Rich.
If I can, to quote again, Townsend and Daltrey, and let's not forget Keith Moon and John Entwistle, rest in peace. if to quote the same song, what I really hope, Michael, and I think we need to work to ensure doesn't happen is that when we meet the new boss, he's the same as the old boss. And when this is all said and done, globalism is going to be shown, Curtis, that it doesn't work. Now, we've known that it hasn't worked, but sometimes it takes, Michael, a crisis or some really god-awful event to have people wake up. And you're starting to see now
That's right.
That's a right. lot of truths get exposed. And I will always say that one of the epic monumental achievements, Mark, of winning in 2016, with all due respect to President Obama voters, the actual true glass ceiling shattering win in American history was our win. First candidate without government or military experience. We broke the glass ceiling. We did, not mm-hmm. the Democrats. So what happened, though, and subsequently, look at all of the truths, the right, all everything, Curtis, that has gotten exposed about what's gone on in government. Just a quick, really side note. Yesterday, the Inspector General David Horowitz released a report where he reviewed the last, I believe, Curtis, it was the last 10 years of the FBI's FISA warrant applications, and found that virtually every one of them. Had either extremely tenuously developed facts, Michael, or conjecture. In other words, they were based on what someone just wanted to do, not what the actual evidence showed. That's something we never would have known, Curtis, had we lost in 16. So
right.
we got to keep ourselves safe and healthy. But Michael, look, let me say something, and I'm suffering too in my business. Okay, and I'm not looking for pity. We're Americans. We're tough. Everybody's got to get tough. We got to get united on it, and we'll get through it.
You're right. Thank you, guys. Wow, what a great program. I want to say a shout-out to Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, Curtis Ellis, our engineer Henry Chaplinsky. This is a very, very historic time in America. When this is over, I'm pleading with everyone to go out and support your local businesses. Go out and make sure that American workers get their jobs back. At this point, importers and foreign investors are making all the money. American workers have to get back to making more of the money. And the only way we're going to do that is by having more jobs in the United States, more products with Made in America labels, and more people able to support themselves. That's the bottom line. No dancing around. Thank you guys so much. It's greatly appreciated. We didn't hear many April Fool's jokes, but our broadcast today was fact, not fiction. Curtis, thank you so much. Rich, thank you so much. Mark, thank you so much. God bless all of you, and may God bless America. Stay well and be happy until we meet again here on 860 AM. God bless.